Welcome to the next episode of the 8-4 Play Podcast, the first, best, only, forever, now, and until the end of time podcast about Japan and games and Japanese games.
Yep.
I am your host, Mark Game Jesus McDonald. Yep. With me, the regular cast, the awesome 8-4-some, 5-some, at least for a little while, for this Super Express EX Turbo Edition Gaiden 8-4 play. And
that means it's going to be short.
A little bit, yeah.
Translation.
That's why he's the translator.
But it'll be quality, not quantity.
Yes.
Right, Mr. J.J. Pulmo Epperson?
Pulmo, yes, because I thought Crashmo was called Pulmo.
You just thought you'd come up with your own name for it.
I'm a wild card like that. I love being the wild card.
I saw you tweeting that, and I was like, oh, is that
a thing? I honestly thought that was the name. Like, that's the logical sequel to Pushmo would be Pulmo, wouldn't it not?
Anyways. Yeah, but how would it be different? Yeah.
I think they call it pull blocks already in Europe.
In Europe, one, so. Yeah.
You're I think already kind of pulling on things.
Right. Yeah. So, well, as you'll find out later, the game is quite a bit different.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we're going to talk about Crashmo.
Yes. Or Hikiotsu, as it's called in Japan.
There you go. There's the Japan part of the podcast covered. Yeah. Covering the other half of it, our only true full-blooded Japanese citizen at the table. That's Hiroko Tum Tum Minamoto.
Tum Tum?
What? Tum Tum, yes.
My Tum Tum?
You've been
My
having tummy. Problems with your Tum Tum.
Yeah, I've been having tummy problems.
And I didn't want to say anything, but if I learned anything from Japanese dramas, it's that when somebody is feeling sick to their stomach, it can only mean one thing.
Congratulations.
No, it's that she hasn't been sleeping with a blanket or something on her stomach at night. Sorry, that's a little bit too cultural, I guess.
Yeah.
anybody with a Japanese wife or a girlfriend?
No, I see where you were going with it, but now you have to explain that before we explain what we were talking about.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, Japanese people believe that if your stomach is cold, it'll start hurting.
That's it.
That's it.
Great story. And what we were talking about was in these Japanese dramas or TV shows.
Yeah.
That have some kind of, they're like 10 or 12 episode TV shows that have like a usually like a ridiculously cliche like love storyline.
You can watch some on Crunchyroll in America.
There you go.
Yeah.
But when somebody is sick, a woman gets sick in a drama, Hiroko, what does that mean?
That means I'm pregnant.
Yes.
But I have to be 16 years old and I have to react to miso soup. That's how we do it in the dramas.
Right. You drink the miso and you're like, oh.
Yeah, I smell the miso soup and then I run to the bathroom.
Okay.
That's what I need.
I have seen that scene many a time.
It's good to know.
Have you done the miso test yet, Hiroko?
Not yet. Oh, so maybe. Okay.
You did have miso today, didn't you? At lunch?
No, that wasn't miso soup.
Oh, okay.
That was just vegetable soup.
Funny enough, that is not how I found out my wife was pregnant.
So, but you've just been having then possibly normal stomach, upset stomach.
I haven't tested anything, so I might be pregnant, but yeah.
All right.
Yeah, cool. Yet.
Also pregnant at this table, and I suspect that the father is Dragon Quest X. That's John Puff Puff Ricciardi, Puff Puff Girl Ricciardi, after your costume that you surprised us all with yesterday.
That's
yeah,
right.
Your costume.
Yes, the most spitting image, you know, Japanese cosplay quality Puff Puff Girl
I know
that I've ever seen. I was surprised. There was a lot of skin.
He had cleavage.
It was a lot. I know.
Yeah.
I don't even know how you did that.
Yeah. If you squeezed my hat yesterday, you would have had the Puff Puff experience, I guess. My slime hat.
Your slime hat
that I bought from Amazon.
Image is terrifying.
Yeah. You probably should have prefaced
your second.
There's a picture of it on Twitter,
your second Dragon Quest related hat I think you've bought in the last couple weeks.
Yeah.
You're talking about the helmet?
Oh, yeah.
I can't wear that one.
I'm glad.
Yet
you
it is still a Dragon Quest related hat that you have purchased. That was what, a Slime Knight helmet?
I'm gonna have a drink. No, that was the that was the helmet from the guy from Dragon Quest One. The main character.
Okay. And the other one was your standard blue slime.
Yeah, blue slime helmet. Hat. Yeah. Wrap around.
Did they only
thing.
Have it in blue?
No, they have a metal slime version too.
Why did you get a metal?
Because I like the blue one. I like the color.
I see.
I like all right. The colors. And I'm just as fascinating. We'll be a little bit of more talk about Dragon Quest X because people love it.
Love it.
Some people do. And what else do people love? Why they love our final cast member. That is Brendan Snow White Pritchard.
Oh, yes.
Rounding out the cast.
I actually know where this one comes from.
Cocaine. Yes.
Fill us in, because I actually don't.
It's not all that interesting, but...
it is interesting.
We were talking at lunch about horror movies, and I honestly have not... Probably never seen a real horror movie, with the exception of things I happen to catch on TV. Like, I've
really?
Never actually... gone out of my way to watch one.
Really?
Why is
that? Alien count as a horror movie?
I've never seen Alien.
Alien okay. counts, but you haven't nope. seen Alien.
And why is wow. that?
It's... up now as an adult, I just don't have the urge to go out and see them. But when I was younger, my parents actually are fans of horror movies and would have taken me had it not been for the fact that when I was six, they took me to see Snow White. Yeah. And I was so terrified of the witch that they swore to never take me to a movie again for like 10 years.
I see.
So they're like, yeah.
A delicate constitution.
Something like that. So they're like, yeah, horror movies probably not going to go over well for Brendan.
Can you watch Snow White now?
I don't know.
No, Brendan's probably traumatized.
Curl up into
a ball. I have no memory of this, so.
Interesting. Well, I wonder what, like, we should ask people, like, what the scariest movie possible is, because I'm curious. You haven't built up this immunity.
Patrick Klepek would know.
To it.
Absolutely
so,
none. Absolutely no immunity.
I'm wondering if it's a natural thing of just getting older where you get over it, or if it's only that you end up seeing so much stuff that you build up an immunity.
Yeah, I'm curious.
I don't know. This may be worth testing.
The only movie that ever scared me as a kid was Poltergeist. Like, I'm not one to get scared. Horrible. Like, scary movies don't really scare me.
When you were like six
me.
Or seven?
Yeah.
Like, I saw my parents surprisingly let me go see Halloween 3 Season of the Witch on Halloween, which is a movie about kids' heads dissolving into snakes and bugs on Halloween night.
Because
they wore a mask. It is the most disturbing thing I've ever seen in my life. There's like two things that scarred me as a child. One of them was the G.I. Joe episode where Shipwreck is taken to a fake facility by, like, goo people who do you know what I'm talking about?
No, I didn't.
They pretend to be his family, and at night they melt into goo before his eyes. Before his eyes.
Wow.
They're hypnotizing him because it all ends up being a Cobra plot. Sorry to spoil this for listeners.
Surprise.
It all ends up being a Cobra plot where they like built this town. They were like, oh, the war is over. Cobra was beaten. Go back home now. And he's back home with his wife and
awesome
his kid or something.
Mm-hmm.
But it's actually just they built a whole fucking town.
Oh, that's so evil.
Yeah, just to get Shipwreck to give up secrets or something. But the people are made out of like goo for some reason. And they melt in front of his eyes. And he's like, oh my God! Like, he's watching his wife like melt in front of his face. He thinks he's losing his mind.
And this traumatized you.
It totally fucking traumatized me. Like, what the fuck is that? Like, his wife and kid were, like, melting in front of him.
It's funny, too, because whenever you say Shipwreck now, I think of cheap-ass gamers Shipwreck. I don't think of Shipwreck from G.I. Joe anymore.
Right,
so I just picture him and his family melting around him.
By the way, in case people missed it, Wombat is okay. Just want to make sure, you know, he was very nice to keep people up to date on Twitter. The millions of people who are wondering, where is he? Is he tweeting? Why isn't he tweeting? He was nice enough to update everyone and let them know that he's okay. He is on Twitter. He's just taking a little break for some, you know, things. So
Wombat being GPD's sidekick on the
is he like in New York or something?
Cheap-ass gamer podcast.
He lives in Long Island.
Yeah, he lives around there. But anyway, a more serious note. Hearts go out to all of our affected friends, including
family. My family's got no power.
Yikes.
Yeah.
But let's just talk about video games anyway.
Okay.
So what should we start with? We talked about Pulmo, a.k.a. Crashmo, a little
Crashmo.
Bit. Why don't you bring us up to date on that? So it's out in Japan. Is it out everywhere else?
I don't know.
It came out on the eShop.
Oh,
yeah, I only know that it came out in Japan.
It came out in Japan yesterday.
How much?
700 yen.
Okay, about $10.
Yes.
And what can you tell us about it?
So I kind of went into this not really knowing much about it.
Obviously.
Yeah,
you didn't even know the name.
Well, because they kind of sprung it up on us. They were like, "Oh yeah, by the way, there's a sequel to Pushmo."
Well, like, not like they made a big to do about the first one.
Well, that's also true. Yeah.
At all.
But so, like, you know, I came into it thinking that it was just going to be Pushmo with a few new gimmicks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it's actually like a totally different game.
So what do you
really?
So like in Pushmo, you know, you had like a group of blocks that you could pull out. Up to three spaces, and then you had to like push and pull things to get to the top of a whatever that shape
stage
was.
That right. Was made of, it could be customized things,
right.
Or yeah, right.
And so in this game, it's not so much about like pushing and pulling things, it's like you're moving whole shapes around to like make a new form that lets you climb up to the top.
So it's rotation. Yeah.
So it's not, no, you're not rotating. You're like, well, you push things and they fall, and then you can move them to the left, to the right, and you can move them around behind objects or in front of objects.
So the blocks didn't fall in Pushmo?
They didn't fall because they couldn't separate.
They were always solid pieces, yeah.
So is this anything like a cup, maybe like a Fez puzzle or two, where you're, I mean, obviously you're trying to make it into a set shape.
Yeah, well, it's
a given shape that is predefined. And
the kind of the end game is that you will make it into a shape that allows you to climb up to the top.
Gotcha. Okay.
But you know, it's actually a little bit more complicated because you'll make that shape, and then in some puzzles, like while you're climbing up, you'll have to move things around
right.
so you can climb even higher and stuff like that. Because, like, if you were someone who played the shit out of Pushmo and, like, well, I've mastered this fucking Pushmo is my bitch.
Yeah.
This game
you're
provides.
One of those guys.
Yeah, if you're one of those guys.
God.
This game provides completely, like, a completely new experience. And it's just as quality as Pushmo. Like, there
but it
are.
Very much in the vein of Pushmo. I mean,
well,
it's the same. It's, like, essentially, like, an evolved version.
The visuals like. Are similar, but, like, yeah, it's, like, Tetris and Puyo Puyo.
I get it. I'm watching a video right now. It actually looks really interesting how you like pull the blocks away to make different shapes and stuff. Like there was a straight up block, and this guy, he pulled the bottom out and then pulled the second thing out, and it ended up like falling and turned into like a staircase.
Right.
And, like, he had to make a staircase, like a
so
imagine like
physics?
An 8-bit like RPG staircase. Well, physics in as far as like they fall. I don't think they like topple over or anything like that.
It sounds like a regular
but
game
you can pull them
block
around
puzzle,
the map
honestly.
And,
yeah, but the you know, and it's still got like the charm and. The just really creative puzzles that are constantly making you like feel really smart when you figure it out. And
why do they call it crash mode?
I was going to
crash down. Because
because things crash
like
down.
Bombs or something.
No,
like that.
I don't think. Well, maybe later. But
I noticed the European name is Fall Blocks. So.
Yeah, so, actually,
they're not so creative.
I always get my tsus and she's confused, but it's hiki o shi or hiki o tsu in Japanese. I can't remember. Anyways. But yeah, like I'm having
it
a really
makes
good
sense
time.
If it's Oshib.
Yeah.
Kyotsu doesn't make sense.
So, right. Like, yeah, give me like some kind of value judgment on this thing. Like, definitely worth it.
Oh, definitely.
Pushmo,
oh,
better?
God. Yes.
Yeah.
It's one of those things because it's weird because like Pushmo really kind of confused me. It was, not so much confused me, but it was difficult for me. But like for this one, I think this will really depend on like how your brain makeup is or whatever.
Right.
But like, you know, I'm like really good at geometry. So when I see these puzzles, I can kind of envision what it's supposed to look like before it even starts.
Right.
You were
so
the art
like,
major. You were the art major.
Yeah.
Goodwill Hunting of Crash Mo.
Of Crash Mo. So it's a little easier, maybe, for me anyways. But it might not be for others.
Gotcha.
Comes out on November 22nd in North America.
Nope. Suckers.
It has 140 new levels.
How much do you know?
That I don't know. JJ, how much was the Japanese one?
700.
Oh, okay.
Can people make their own custom levels?
Yes,
with this
and
one?
They unlock them a lot quicker than in Pushmo. Because in Pushmo, you had to play like half the game before you could do that, but it's like the second stage. So.
And you can make a QR code out of it and like put it on Twitter and do all that kind of jazz?
And apparently...
That's one of the cool parts about
it. Definitely. And Nintendo will be sending people levels through, not Street Pass, but Spot Pass and stuff like that. So
cool. Well, right on.
Very cool.
And then what else? You've been playing some crappy iOS game?
I wouldn't say it's crappy. Everybody's like talking about it. It's Punch Quest.
Okay. So this is the... what's the...
It's a runner.
Rocket Ranger. It's a runner type
running. Yeah, it's by Rocket Cat Games.
Right.
It's a runner where
it's
you punch
like
things.
Cannonball, a.k.a. or Jetpack Joyride. Maybe
yes.
Better.
A little closer
it's probably a little closer to Jetpack Joyride. But, like, you know, you get two buttons. One is to punch. The other one is to punch up. and you're just running and
you're not
there
jumping.
Are... You jump an uppercut.
Ah, gotcha.
Yeah. So it. Yeah. Anyways. And there are like all these like bats and zombies and orcs and stuff, and you're just like punching to beat them up. And sometimes
a dinosaur that shoots lasers out of its mouth,
right? Or you can be a gnome that like fights bees. I don't know what that's about. but there's like all sorts of power ups that you buy with in game currency or real money if you want to. And there are bosses in multiple paths and stuff like that. It's a score based game. It's really fun.
I need to play it more. Like, it looks really, really nice. I really like the sort of old school graphic style of it. But something about it seems, I'm not sure what it is, but something's missing. Like, when I'm playing it, I don't feel like. Like, it keeps track of a lot of things. It has a lot of stats, a lot of achievements. There's lots of power-ups and things. And you feel like it's, like, a really kind of full-featured game. But then, like, after I'm done, I don't feel like, oh, I want to do that again and pass that score. Probably because, like, it's so complicated or there's so much going on, I can't even tell what I could do better to make my score better.
So, yeah, that is a thing. Like, at the beginning, at least for a while, I was just like, well, this really is just, like, mash and you get lucky.
Right.
But eventually you do kind of, like, pick up, like, well, okay, well, you know, if I do this and this, I can, you know, avoid these guys better and such.
Yeah, I haven't
and
really
such.
Figured out how to like block stuff well.
Right, or,
like,
and then you
I
get,
should, who I should be punching
block.
Up or not.
Right.
Well, I don't mean literally
you can
block, but you can block. But I mean more
how
like just
block?
Like certain enemies attacks.
You
how
hit
you
both
stop
buttons
them.
At the same time.
Oh, well, there you go.
Because you can do. There's different moves you can do too. Like when you do that uppercut, if you punch again, you then can do punch down. Like there's a lot of different stuff you can
down.
Do. But
it's tough because
is it free? And
it is free to play.
In-app purchases of what?
Of hats, and you can buy coins so you can access all the other super moves quicker. Yeah, because
really?
Part of the game
the
is like
moves quicker. There's moves.
Yeah,
okay.
Part of the game is that you know you can customize your character. Mine is like a really buff Indian dude. He's really cool.
And
like
you unlocked. You didn't pay any money for those.
No, I just
you
played
love
the game.
Indian dudes. You wanted to be the Indian dude in Spelunky too.
But he's really good. The Indian dude in my game is so badass.
And you dressed up as the Indian from the Village People for Halloween.
That is not. That's a different Indian. I'm talking. Dots, not feathers.
Oh, yes. So are you calling me racist?
A little bit.
ouch. Yeah, so I can start to imagine why this game isn't really making a lot of money.
Yeah, so that's the thing.
Just
like,
that if it's free and you're buying hats, you don't sound excited about any of the options that you actually pay for.
They right? kind of screwed up their ecosystem by making it too easy to get all the power-ups and giving you like really cool hats to play with at the very beginning.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So it's like it's kind of like
rookie
I don't
mistake.
Really
the hats. The hat selection. Well, is key.
Think about it this way: in Dota, sorry to bring up Dota, but their whole ecosystem is based off of cosmetic items, and they're making quite a good
right.
profit off of that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So
there
it's
a
not,
smart way
it,
to do it.
And there's a smart way to do it. I don't think
they
did it that way.
Also, a built-in crazy community for a Dota 2.
Also true.
Yeah.
And there are other free-to-play games that do this, but I think they just kind of give it to you too easily. Mm-hmm. Like if this game were a 99-cent app and then also had this kind of stuff, I think they would probably
and it looks
have been
good enough to be a
99-cent
app.
Totally.
I'm surprised they made it free.
I was shocked it was free.
Apparently, it's really hard to get noticed now on the App Store as any kind of paid app.
Yeah, but this game is already noticed. This is when you know, like every now and then the games come along that everybody's kind of heard about or waiting for, like the million. What was it? What was the last one that was really big on iOS that we were all talking about like a month ago?
Super Hexagon.
Like stuff like. That like
yeah, this
long Punch Quest was one of those games like people knew about it and were waiting for it and
this game ended up on Polygon and Rocket Cat Games have made some of the higher selling iOS games up until now
they should have made it $1. Anyway, I'll play it more maybe. I also downloaded He-Man, but I haven't played it yet.
He-Man, not good.
Oh, really?
Sorry, yeah.
Shocker.
Yeah.
I mean, as people got excited, I guess, seeing the trailer, but like, you know, on the face of it, it's like, oh, He-Man game for iOS, and it's not good?
Yeah.
No.
It's not a shocker. But yeah, like with Punch Quest, the scoring thing's fun. I'm playing with Kyle. Kyle's currently besting me, but I will destroy him.
Is there
tonight.
Any way to like show people your currently customized character? I feel like that's also reducing the interest.
Yeah, that would have been good.
If you could share it with other people, that would be cool.
What the hell is the point?
You can't do that. What's the point?
Maybe you could tweet it.
I don't know.
There must be some way.
I don't think you can tweet it because I tweeted my score and it didn't do it. So
$1 million idea right there.
John, instead of playing Punch Quest, you have been playing... Still playing Dragon Quest X.
Oh yeah,
you bought a house.
I bought my house.
Finally, yes.
You bought property.
That
and
was work. I bought
in
I bought
a virtual
property,
world,
which cost 100,000 gold, which is a lot of money. In
so
this
how
game.
much? How much real money did you pay to get all that gold.
Real money?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Well, you'll find out
on like eBay.
I'm foreshadowing a story. Sorry. Keep going.
Okay. No. sure. I played like 150 hours, and like before I had enough money to. You remember we talked about how the housing started? It started out at 500,000.
Yeah.
Every day it basically goes down 20,000.
Right.
My wallet met the cost like point at about 120,000 gold, but then I just waited one more day and got it at 100,000.
And why not? Did you consider just waiting? What was the bottom?
The thing is, I think a lot of people are probably around the same point I am. Like people like Andy, who was on the show when we talked about Dragon Quest, he probably bought like the first house. Like he had like a million gold already, like on day one. But he's also played like 7,000 hours. Like people, right. I think most people are probably a little bit more like me or less, like where they start to have enough money around the 100,000 gold point or less. And so I wanted to get it before.
Right.
My address is, I'm in a, you pick a house, there's five different like main sort of hub towns. One on each continent, and each one has its own housing area. And in the housing area, there's like 5,000 chomes. What is that in English?
Blocks, maybe?
Yeah,
blocks.
You can call it blocks, I guess, yeah. And I basically wanted to get a house on block 84. But the houses sell pretty quickly. You can see the other people's houses on the map when they've already bought them and stuff. But I did find a nice house in like in the forest. Looks like Kyoto.
Oh.
In block 84, house number one. So I bought it.
Nice.
Yeah.
And give me a sense of how much money that is. So it was 100,000 gold.
When I got it, yeah.
In an average hour, let's just say an average hour of like fighting stuff, grinding, how much money... Not particularly going out for money, but just an average hour. How much money would you say you earned?
Maybe 2,000 if you're using Genki Damas, like the things that double your gold and experience when you grind. The thing is, in this game, what I found out from Andy, I call him Dr. DQ because he's like he knows everything about the game. is you get most of your money in this game actually from selling the stuff that you find in the field, not from fighting. There was so little money to get from beating enemies, but you pick up the. It's like Dragon Quest IX. There's like sparkly spots on the ground. There's like you can get them once a day. You pick them up, take them to the bazaar, and sell them, and that's where you get a lot of your money from.
Right.
So on the last day, I had like 80,000, and I was getting close, and I was just like, all this stuff that I've been hoarding, this like kind of value, I'm just gonna go sell it because like well, otherwise it's gonna sit there forever anyway. So I sold like 20,000, gold worth of stuff, and then I got my house.
So now, what can you do now that you have your house? You like build stuff in it. And
you
stuff,
can decorate or? It. Yeah, there's all kinds of furniture and things.
Can you bring girls home?
You can actually set
bring
it up.
Bring slimes home.
They have the system I haven't tried, but you can actually. Set it up
Brendan's
to be
looking
what they call,
at me and shaking his head like, yes, you can.
Excuse me. You can set it up to be what they call a welcome house, where
is that what they call it?
Anybody else who is set up to be a welcome house has this thing where they can be like randomly sent to someone else's house, and you can just visit other people's houses. It's kind of weird, but I mean, I guess weird. If you want to do That's like odd. Animal Crossing style and like. Do it up with your, you can customize it a fair bit, like the paint and the flooring and all that, and then like get cool furniture and stuff. Then people can come check out your house, like in Animal Crossing. So,
is there any practical reason?
Yeah, the practical reason is it you can store items there, so your item space is a premium in this game, right? And so you can put a whole bunch of items in your house, and then also if you buy a bed, then you don't have to pay money to go to an inn. So which
that's
is
right,
nice mm-hmm.
okay.
So.
And you can always return to that house at pretty much any time.
Yeah, you get a Zoom stone for exclusive use on your house. So anywhere in the world you are, you can use the stone and fly back to your house. So
did you walk around the neighborhoods of the people who
I didn't.
The
so I'm the first
things,
house in my block.
The ghettos?
The yes, ghetto. I did. I went all around the world the night before to every town and checked out that each town has three different types of like areas. Like, for example, one town has like a snowy part. Mm. Or a sort of rocky mountainous part, and then like another one, I forget what it was. And each of the five main towns has like three of those in each. And so I went around like all of them and checked them out. And
you went around the
you
world.
You went house hunting.
I was either going to pick the snow one because it's nice. We're coming up on winter. It's really nice. The snow in the game is pretty. It's like all white in the trees and everything. But I ended up getting the Kyoto one.
Yeah, snow tends
not
to
yellow,
be.
Fortunately.
Wow.
Mark, you sound really
beautiful.
Interested.
Yeah. White snow. Yeah, so you chose this location, and then is there any, there's not any like certain cachet or there's not like what I'm curious about. The blocks, you're not separated by what you paid for your house, are you?
Well, there, in
like
it,
physically,
not yet.
This section was only but for people who could afford it at 500,000.
What it is there are small plots, medium plots, and large plots. Right now, there's only small plots available, but in the future, you will be able to pay more for a bigger house.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. I was curious how the like real world richer, poorer like divide would inevitably happen in the game.
Yeah, it doesn't, you know, I think what it is there, to be fair, like, so, you know how I was saying each town has three sections that you can move into? One of those sections is in the, is like the core section and has all the different facilities, like the vault or the bazaar or the shops and everything, like right there. So you could theoretically get a house like right next to all the cool, the stuff you use every day, which
that
is
actually
very convenient.
Yeah, would be. Did those go first when you were looking
those go
at what's
first,
sold?
Yeah.
Yeah, that is interesting. Yeah. It's like being near the station.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah.
Are you able to lend your house?
No, you can, like I said, you can let other people in, but you can't like rent it out or lend
run
it
a puff puff place out of your out of the back. Yeah.
Run house your business.
You can customize the sign in front of your house, so maybe I should do that. Like, you know,
puff, did you, John, did, back, John, did you see two people who met in Dragon Quest X got married recently?
They met. That means that they met
like 2 months ago.
Yeah, wait a minute.
And they're already married?
Yep.
Are they like married inside the game?
No, they're married in real life.
Real married.
IRL.
Real life.
They must have started dating in the beta.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. That's a good point.
All right. So, and then in non-Dragon Quest X news, you actually have been playing. Can we talk about this?
We can talk about it. Okay. Yeah, we just can't. There's certain things you can't talk about, but I haven't got that far yet anyway. So.
Okay. Well, what are we talking about?
We're talking about Paper Mario.
Yes.
Sticker Star. Papier. Which is really early. I mean, it's early. We got it early. It's not out in America till the 11th, but it's really
early
for Japan.
Nintendo.
Yeah,
thank
Nintendo's
you.
Awesome.
Yeah, is it even announced for Japan?
Yeah, it's coming out in December.
Oh,
so,
okay.
So tell
I'm
me,
sure
how
you Street Pass with me is like, how the hell does this guy have this?
Paper Mario
how
Sticker
awesome
Star?
Is that game? How awesome is that wonderful
awesome
game that Nintendo
awesome
gave to us
yes
for free?
So awesome.
Oh, okay.
No, actually, you know, to be fair, I've played it about 4 or 5 hours. We're really busy. Really, really, really
yeah,
busy.
Yeah, I'm impressed
right now
that you actually got to play it that much.
I play it like either in bed or like in the bathroom, which is the only time I have to play. But,
that's why you're gone for the bathroom.
Yeah.
So long.
Project X is continuing to kick our collective keister.
Yeah. We're like, I was, when we started the show today, I was like, has it already been 2 weeks?
Yeah.
It's like,
Yeah,
I mean,
see,
only been
I see
weeks
bags
like
behind your eyes, both of you guys' eyes.
But so I haven't played it a whole lot yet, but and so I feel bad because I was trying to think of stuff I could say that you haven't already heard if you, like, for example, watch the E3 presentation they had. But there's not much yet because the game is basically the core of this game is there's a big sticker festival in the beginning, and of course, like, Bowser crashes it or whatever.
That old
RPG,
I don't like
the
sticker festivals.
All the stickers get like taken all around the world or whatever, and you basically have to like go out and collect these things.
Bowser is such
these
a jerk.
Dads.
Yeah.
And you're basically running around the world. The world is set up. It's like an RPG kind of. It's a little bit more like the Paper Mario RPG games, but there's no experience. So that part is kind of weird. Like, you get into battles almost exclusively for money, basically, or to, you know, I guess progress past certain parts. But the way it works is there's an overworld map like Super Mario World.
What? It's because they're fighting for money.
Okay,
what?
Sure.
What? Why'd you say cockfighting?
Because they're fighting for money. It's like just little funny characters,
anyway,
animals fighting for money, whatever.
Unlike all those, no, all right, just keep going.
Yeah.
Okay, so the world map is set up like Super Mario World, like it's, you know, you start off on 1-1, and so in that sense, it feels slightly platformy. But then once you get in that level, it's kind of like the RPGs. Like there's like a big map, I mean, a big area that you're going around fighting enemies and collecting stickers. You like peel them off the walls.
Right.
You get a hammer right in the beginning, and you use this hammer to like interact with the environment. So you might like hit the ground, and then like a bush, which is paper, will like fall over, and something might be behind.
Totally
it
Paper Mario.
Yeah, it's very much like the old games.
Mm-hmm.
But so when you're in that World 1-1, are you only limited to World 1-1?
While you're in
1-1,
yeah, you got it at the end of every level. There's this I forget what they call it. Like it's a comet or something. It's like part of the big thing that you're collecting that,
right,
that spread all over the world, and that's the end of the level basically. Mm-hmm. And then you go back out to the map, and then you can move on to like 1-2.
Huh,
or whatever.
Weird. So you're not going back and forth?
You can go
same
back and forth. Oh, no, you can go back, yeah.
Oh,
there's
okay
also like a hub town, a town that you can go into, go in a shop and buy stickers. And
gotcha.
You have like a sticker album that you start off with 2 pages full of stickers, and the stickers are different sizes. So, you know, you pick them up, but you might get some big ones or you might get some special ones, and you have to kind of organize them in the book so that you can carry more, like... and
like
that's kind of...
Resident Evil or something like that?
Resident Evil 4.
Yeah.
You never played Resident Evil
4. Not much, no. Oh. Yeah. But,
yeah, well, so compared to other games, I mean, very much in the same vein in terms of the humor and like the fun the characters and that
yeah,
sort of thing.
Yeah, the thing is, that's why I want to talk about it more next time when I've played it a bunch more, because the first 4 hours, there's not a whole lot going on yet. Like, I'm still doing, I only just got a new page in my sticker books, and now I can hold a few more, and I fought a couple of bosses. One cool thing is you get...
It does sound like you're like a 12-year-old girl.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what you're laughing
at. Yeah.
I did get a new page in my sticker book.
Right, it's like a elementary school.
I got a big unicorn sticker.
Miyamoto gave me a star for clearing 1-1.
Something that's really cool, you probably saw this if you watched the E3 coverage too, is there's real world items in there.
Yes.
Like
there's a hair dryer.
There's scissors, and yeah, I got a faucet today, and there's like these things that these are like these giant stickers that you use in the game to...
There's a goat. There's like a giant goat in the video.
Really?
Did
I didn't see
that.
No.
Oh, it like eats the enemies, chews them up, and spits them out. Like a, like a giant... It doesn't look like any of the other art in the game, so it must just be a sticker. It's just like a flat... It looks like a Terry Gilliam, like, old Monty Python thing. The goat just, like, comes in, this giant god goat, and just, you know, chews up the enemies, and then, yeah, spits
well,
them all
Well, I feel like in a
damage.
World made entirely of paper, goat would be god.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
So, anyway, though, apropos. I mean, the first few hours of the game are pretty much the same thing, kind of this same concept that I've been talking about over and over. So, I want to get further in, because the one thing I'm finding already is that I'm starting to feel like, what's the point of getting in battle? Because I'm not gaining any experience. I have a lot of gold already, just from fighting a bunch of battles.
It's all about them stickers.
In the battles, it's like it's always been, you know, you tap the button at the right timing and you can do more attacks, or you hit the button to block when they hit you, and you'll get more coins that way. And so if you're really good at it, you can build up money a lot.
Right.
And now I have like 500 coins or whatever, and I don't really feel like a need to get in battles, and that's a little disappointing. Like,
what do you
wish
use
there was
the
a
money
reason
for?
To but buy stickers.
Just buying,
see, but yeah. I figured the stickers would be the de facto, like, leveling up to get new skills.
Right.
Like, so, I don't know, but I was assuming the battle somehow empowered you either through getting stickers or getting money to buy stickers. That effectively, you would still level up. You would just do it through, I guess, getting stickers.
Right, and the fact
like that
you're not fighting any more enemies just means you're over leveled and you don't need to do anything else.
Potentially, yeah. That's why I want to get further in. I'm sure these games always start off really simple and kind of handholdy, and I'm totally aware of that. So I'm not knocking it or anything. I just feel like I need to get, I wish I had more time to play it.
You're not allowed to knock it, John. We got it for free.
We get a lot of games for free. But it is pretty funny. There's this little helper. I forget her name, Kirsty or something. And she's like this little, I don't know,
sprite
sticker princess thing or something or other, but she's basically like a lot of Nintendo games lately where she'll help you whenever you're stuck, which is good and bad. But the good, like in Zelda, Skyward Sword, I hated it because like they made it too easy. In this one, she really doesn't bother you unless you hit the L button, and
perfect,
and the dialogue is actually really funny, so it's actually you don't feel bad for using it as much,
so
that's kind of nice.
And presumably you can speed it up and skip the text like any decent game made past 1990 should be able to. Skyward Sword.
but yeah, so I'll definitely be playing that a whole bunch more. I want to try and finish it. So maybe next episode is right around when it comes out in America, actually. So maybe we could talk about it some more.
Cool. Mm. And Brendan, you're back playing a game that I hope to play sometime in the next 6 months, hopefully.
Really?
That's a long period of time.
I know. But I'm going to be busy for the next two, at least. Dark Souls.
Yes.
Dark Souls.
I downloaded the DLC, but I have not gotten far enough in the game to access it. I'm like right before the place where you can start entering the storyline that will lead to the DLC.
Okay. Yeah, that was a really interesting, very From Software-esque thing. Basically, like you can buy the DLC, but still have to play like 20 hours to get to
You're
it.
Like, basically, I'm like 2/3 of the way through the game. And if I were to...
you still can't get to it.
If I were to progress a little bit further, like maybe an hour's worth of gameplay, I would get to the part where you can start the DLC. Okay. Start it.
The crazy thing too is if you finish the game, so this is not a spoiler, everybody knows these games have new game pluses, but like if you finish the game and do the new game plus, you've technically, I've played through the entire game, I won it, you know, I'm awesome, I bought the DLC, I still have to play the 20 hours again to get back to that point, even though I beat the game already.
Wow.
So, because you can't, you know, once you new game, you can't go back. So.
Right.
And it's not even a question of you have to get to a certain area just to unlock the DLC. There's a sequence of events that you have to have completed in the main game, which can only be done when you're about 2/3 the way through the game.
Could you know, in that game you can kill NPCs. Could you like potentially kill an NPC that would like prevent you from getting to the DLC ever?
No.
Oh, okay.
I don't think
hilarious.
So
how does it feel to be back?
It feels good. I was scared that I'm going to be like, oh God, I haven't played this game in, 3 or 4 months. I'm going to be destroyed. And I actually beat a boss that I couldn't beat 2 to 3 months ago.
I saw you tweeting about like taking your clothes off and rolling around in the mud or something.
Exactly.
What are you talking about? Oh, that was game or while you were playing the game?
Both. But no. I was fighting the wolf boss, which Sif. I've been... Was it Sif?
Yeah, Sif.
I've been fighting that boss for 2 months, and I just couldn't beat it. And it turned out the trick was my armor was too heavy, and I needed to take everything off.
So get buck naked, get buck wild.
Get buck naked, and that increases the amount of invulnerability you have when you're rolling, which was just what I needed to end up beating it. So.
Just what you needed.
Yeah.
Oh, so I feel good now.
So DLC Ho, you don't have it. You can't talk about it yet. But
I can't talk about it yet, but I will soon be able to talk about it probably next podcast for sure.
I am now super sensitive to games HUD screens, so I just bought a new plasma TV, and I'm curious about Dark Souls because I can't. So I wanted to play Dragon's Dogma. I put it in, and I was like, "Fuck, this looks amazing!" But it has HUD elements that I kind of need that are just stationary, like your move names and stuff like that. So I was like, and also it has black bars at the top and bottom.
Right.
Which always...
Wait, are you worried about burn-in or something?
Yeah. There's for the first 100 hours, I don't know, I probably read too much of the AVS forum, but first 100 hours, you're like, oh, you should mix up between games and movies and TV.
Right.
And not have like anything bright white and whatever. And then I put in Skyrim, which I also got a new stereo system in the fucking... If you have a subwoofer... Like, the spells in Skyrim are amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, even, like, the fucking spell that just, like, boosts your shield. It's like... It's, like, amazing. It's like, just sitting there doing it over and over again. It's awesome. But Skyrim, you can get rid of almost all the HUD elements in Skyrim, and you don't need them.
Okay.
Except for, I think, your health, which is a bright white bordered thing, which is the last thing you want on the screen. So I'm like, okay, not that too.
Aww.
So yeah, and I'm kind of fishing for a...
You should just leave your TV on like while you're at work.
No, basically. People do that. People have slides. They call them, they run the slides. And some people are like,
they run
slides for 500 hours before I calibrate. It's just what
they have
do.
Like break-in DVDs where you can do that and
all kinds of crazy shit. But then some people accidentally leave it on.
Like break in the movie?
To break in your TV.
Oh.
But some people accidentally leave them on and it's like stuck on the title screen and that's break in your TV set. Yeah.
Oh,
actually, CNET or somebody did that.
Okay. Right.
And then there was like an article on how your TV handles Brian. But I will say so far I'm like super happy with the switch to plasma.
Really?
It took a little getting used to just at first because it's not as bright, but I've come to appreciate the deep, rich darkness of the plasma television sets, specifically the Panasonics. I know way too much about it from reading the last couple weeks, but maybe Dark Souls, once it's broken in, will be that game. It probably won't be
wonderful.
A couple months.
You should definitely
Project
play that.
X.
Yeah, there are apparently PvP arenas in the DLC, which could be very nice. I don't know. I don't know if you can choose your opponents because this is Dark Souls after all. But
your weapon.
Oh, yeah, didn't you say they brought back You Defeated, too?
Oh, yeah.
Which I famously have been blamed for it disappearing in the first place.
Right, but you mentioned that I'm playing the Japanese version, and you thought that it...
I'm not sure if it's in the Japanese one or not.
I think that's a universal thing.
I don't remember either, but at any rate, when I beat the wolf, it said You Defeated.
You have to afterwards. Wonder if they brought that back because the fans demanded it, or if it was just one of those things where, like,
accident.
Oops,
could be either. Speaking of accidents, why don't we take a break, and when we come back we will have a little bit of news, so stick around. Are back with the news.
It's the news.
He doesn't even have to be prompted.
No, you're getting better.
Thank you. Automatic.
I was wondering. I thought for a change we would start off with some Nintendo news.
Yeah, because we don't really do that
this episode.
Yeah.
So there was not, shockingly, has there not been a Nintendo Direct in the last 2 weeks?
Maybe.
Wait, oh my. Wasn't there the Animal Crossing one?
Was there that? Was one.
I've lost track of time since we've been on Project X Crunch because like true. 2 weeks feels like 2 years.
No, I don't think the Animal Crossing one happened in the 2 weeks.
Was that right before last one? I don't know. If it was, it was nothing super important.
Right.
There was a investor QA thing that happened.
Which is like a Nintendo Direct for rich people.
Very direct. Yes, in fact, he's right there in front of you.
Right.
But actually, some of the most interesting stuff that came out of it—nothing earth-shattering—but they talked about Nintendo Direct itself and like how successful it's being.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Right.
600,000 plus, I guess, between that and over a million people are watching these.
Yeah.
Most of them after its broadcast on the eShop, which I thought was
really
interesting. Yeah, because I kind of forgot about that.
Well, because actually, a lot of that stuff like turns out on the eShop as like 3D videos, which is, you know, if it's a trailer or something, I'd rather watch it in 3D on my 3DS.
Sure.
Stuff streams off the eShop really fast, I noticed. I was really surprised. If you go to watch a game's video, it's like up and running like almost instantly.
Yeah, I think they
maybe
probably
it's
have
so
that.
Small or something, but it's really, I was impressed.
I think they have that stuff preloaded and just like hit the button.
Preloaded.
No, I'm talking about, about a random game on the shop, and I'm like, oh, I want to check this game out and hit the video. It's like, boom, 2 seconds later. It's
running. Okay.
I thought you were about to spout like a conspiracy theory that Nintendo actually preloaded like the first 2 years of 3DS games on it, and they're just activating it. Other interesting things out of that investor QA, Nintendo President Satoru Iwata talking, of course, 72% worldwide of Nintendo 3DSs have connected their device to the internet.
I think that's impressive.
Which is great.
Yeah.
Finally. I mean,
sign
people
of the
are
times, right?
Moving towards it. Yeah. What that means is probably more aggressive DLC and more aggressive download game sales for Nintendo. From
the defaults
Nintendo.
Being released download.
Yeah. Just there you go. Yeah. Yeah, I think we have that in here, actually.
We do.
And we do. I'm sorry.
At
ruining
a cheaper price. Yeah, well, let's just throw that out there now, why don't we? I want to say it was like 500 yen
it's like
cheaper?
Yeah, it's about 500 yen cheaper, but that's kind of the price you pay for at the store anyways. Nobody really sells at MSRP in this country.
But still, that's like a baby step for Japan.
Download
version 5400 yen, which is the game's official retail, is about 6100. So that's like a baby step towards actually being cheaper.
Right.
But even getting to be the same price is something.
Well, they're happy too, though, because for them, that 500 yen less, whatever, they know that game can't be sold. So that's like money in the bank forever.
No, right, exactly. And they don't have to make the physical goods.
Right.
There's tons of different
reasons. Well, and the reason why they did this actually is because they haven't been able to produce enough copies of the game. And they were worried about sales just like kind of, you know, falling off a cliff because of logistics. And now that they can put it on the 3DS store, they're like, oh, wow, we can actually sell
these things. Is that the story that they're peddling?
That's the story.
And they talked also about without any advertisements in the mass media promote downloads versions of package games. Download versions of those games account for 3 to 10% of total sales worldwide, which is pretty good for not having ever advertised anything. 3 to 10. And their first big push, I guess, with the downloadable sales is going to be Animal Crossing New Leaf. And
makes sense.
I thought this was interesting. So the TV commercial, which is already out, has a narrator saying at the end, download version available, always with you, never lost. So Iwata mentioned that, you know, they chose Animal Crossing because it's the kind of game with all of its, you know, daily features and social features and stuff like that. It makes the most sense to always just have your 3DS, even if the cartridge isn't.
Games like that,
really,
and Monster Hunter is right up that alley too. Like, there is no reason I want Monster Hunter on my system forever, so I don't have to like carry the card around. Like, games like that are perfect.
Forever.
And yet, oddly, it's not available yet. It's only available as a download if you buy the hardware pack.
But there will be. It'll be for sale.
They haven't announced it.
Oh, I thought they were.
Iwata also revealed that the Animal Crossing New Leaf 3DS bundle had so many pre-orders that they've had to arrange for additional production.
That's not surprising.
John Johannes ordered, a friend of the show.
Peach John.
John bought one of those with the strawberry, whatever it is on it, like the little
what's it called? Inspired
Louis Vuitton
design. That's right.
Nice.
Still in Nintendo land. Is this Michael Pachter news?
That would be Mr. Michael Pachter.
According to an unknown, unnamed securities analyst, Wii U software guidance is quote-unquote realistic, unquote.
What does that mean exactly?
What does that mean?
Basically, Nintendo was saying that they expect in fiscal year 2013, 5.5 million units of Wii U to be sold, and then 24 million Wii U software units to be sold in the same fiscal year. And he's saying that's like a, you know, roughly like a four to one tie-in ratio, software to hardware. And he's saying that's unrealistic, which...
Is he ever right? I don't really recall him ever like
him. I think
like
he's been right about something before.
Like one out of 10 times though, right?
It's this
like,
one though, I would tend to agree with him.
Well, yeah. I think a lot of people are going to buy two games at the yeah. start, and then after the new year, probably another two.
But let's remember that this is tie ratio. A lot of people will presumably, if it's anything like the Wii, buy it, especially in America, get their copy of Nintendo Land
right.
with the unit, which I don't think they should be counting as software, but maybe they are.
I bet they are.
If they do that, well, then still it's like it's the Wii Sports machine for, or maybe they buy, you know, one for Christmas and then one for their birthday or something.
I think a lot of people are going to pick up Mario and Nintendo Land at launch, or Mario and Zombie U.
All I'm saying, 4-to-1 tie ratio first year for a normal console, I think would be about going rate or standard, because you have the hardcores buy it first. But for a Nintendo Wii U system, I don't know. Maybe they're thinking that their first 6 million people are going to be hardcore so that they will buy it.
Yeah,
but it's kind of a non-story anyway in the first place. I think more interesting is that Nintendo cut their own forecasts.
That's right.
They expected to make 20 billion yen, which is about $250 million in profits by March 31st of next year. Now they knocked that down to 6 billion yen. So like a third, 75 million.
Isn't it still a jump from last year, though, I think, or something like that? Or the losses were
they had lost before. So, I don't know if that was last year or last announcement.
Quarter.
But they were saying, you know, they're citing reasons for the slash included the currency exchange rate to me, which is like, well, when was this forecast from? Because the currency exchange rate
hasn't really changed.
I mean, it sucks, but you've known that for a year now.
Right,
yeah,
right.
And then, of course, they do cite weaker than expected sales of Nintendo 3DS in territories outside of Japan. That doesn't mean it's doing bad,
right?
But one third of what they were expecting is pretty off.
Yeah. Well, I feel like at this point, the people who want the 3DS, which is a large number of people, don't get me wrong, tend to already have it now.
Well, you say that, but what about like the Animal Crossing thing that we just, like that crowd that we just mentioned, you know, that's a whole crowd of people that
there's, yeah, if you look at the last one DS, game, they're people. Nowhere near like any kind of like, you know, maximum penetration at all.
Well, they still haven't brought out their brain age or whatever it's going to be for this. I mean, they've brought out the literal brain age, but not the we're working on things for the wider audience.
Right.
We haven't shown them to you yet. Okay, what are we waiting for? You're slashing your estimates by, I mean, I'm sure they're busy with Wii U. That might have something to do with it. Anyway, 3DS system sales are basically going to be off a million of what they expected, which is still pretty good. They expected to sell 18.5 million, and they're downgrading that to 17.5.
Compare that to Vita, which is how much have they sold?
Sheesh, man. Two?
At least two, five and a half.
Us two have the only two.
Two? No, it 2 million.
Oh,
I know what you're talking about.
Okay.
So, yeah, that puts...
two plus the one I dropped last week. You know.
Worldwide 3DS is at 22 million. And they also
numbers.
They also talked about, yes, more numbers. Numbers news. Wii U is going to be sold at a loss.
That is the shock. The shocker. Yeah.
Apparently, just like it'll change over the course of the year, I guess.
At that price, that can't be too much of a. You know what it
well,
is?
It must
be
the exchange rate.
It's because of the controller, though. Yeah. I mean,
and the exchange rate, man, that exchange rate is killing them.
Mm.
In the first half of the fiscal year, because of the launch of Wii U, we're not able to make a profit on software for the system because we had to book a loss on the hardware,
right?
Which is currently in production and will be sold below manufacturing cost,
right? Well, and the euro. I'm sorry about the currency thing. America's rate sucks, but the euro just like fucking crashed. Like a brick, like, you know, it's sub 100 yen now.
Hmm.
So, you know, if they release it in, I mean, they're going to release it in Europe, and you guys got to be responding to me.
let's just wait.
Start talking about
European markets and exchange rates. Yes. I'm like, the market cap professor.
The currency situation is bad. Not just in America.
Run out and wind down in Europe. Like, help. So, yes, he said, Wada said that they will not achieve, quote, Nintendo-like, unquote, profits for this fiscal year, which I thought was funny. However, Nintendo aimed to return to high profit margins next year by launching Wii U successfully and continuing adapting their business in line with the times.
They will.
And then, and that's another news story, but we basically just announced that they're hoping to sell 5.5 million Wii U units.
Can you believe Wii U is 3 weeks away?
I know, like, man.
3 weeks.
Crazy.
That's a month and a week for
us. That's true.
So.
It's like 5 weeks for us, but still.
A little further away, Dragon Quest X for Wii U, spring 2013, open beta starting in February. We mentioned...
Really? I didn't even know that.
How excited are you?
Yeah. About what?
Everything.
I'm excited that it's coming with you. I don't care about the open beta because I've already got a character.
Okay.
So you're going to have to rebuy the game. You're going to get into the open beta with your Wii U...
Well, yeah.
Presumably.
I'm not going to do it, though, because you'd have to decide if to start over. You can't bring your current character in. But
so you're going to have to rebuy the game for Wii U.
Totally fine. I want to. I mean, I play that game a lot. Like, I really like it.
You want to? You want to rebuy it?
I really want to rebuy it. Because I want it in a nice HD and playable on the controller, you know?
But how many PlayStation 3s do you have, John?
I only have two.
Okay.
I mean, I've owned like four or five, but I only have two.
Okay. You're not going to get a slimmer?
No, just it's ugly. It's so ugh.
Sadly though, John, I don't know if you did any gold farming or gold trading in Dragon Quest X.
This is the story I was alluding to earlier.
Yes. Okay. Square Enix, finally here comes the payoff. Square Enix announced that they banned some bunch of gold traders at the end of October. They did an investigation, which I would love to have that job.
Yeah.
Dragon Quest X special investigation.
Are you a gold farmer?
Put the Law and Order sound in there. There's like a slime, like moving boxes. Like, I don't know. He was in here the other day. Anyway, they did an investigation, identified accounts selling digital gold. There's digital gold in their hills. Players had their accounts closed forever.
What is wrong with that? I mean, just out of curiosity, like, why is that a problem? If someone is dumb enough to pay real money for it.
Yeah, it's an economy thing.
Yeah, that's true.
Right.
I can see how that could happen.
Altogether, I love that they announced this because it's like a drug bust. Yeah. They stopped.
They had all the Chinese guys out in front of them.
Hey,
with the,
racist.
Yeah, they're always Chinese.
Jesus Christ.
It's not racist. Chinese gold farmers.
It's not racist if it's true.
No.
Wow.
Now,
you came from the South.
People.
Take the boy out of the South.
People on the internet will defend me.
Take the South out of the boy.
Gold farming. Gold farming is
a big Chinese
business.
With the gold farming.
I am Chinese.
Yep.
I'm just going to talk. Right, I'm going to talk like this for the rest of the show.
Anyway, they stopped 19.2 million gold, John. Do you know how many houses
that
would
buy?
That
could buy? Holy crap.
Yes. Speaking of Dragon Quest, Dragon Quest VII getting a 3DS remake, thanks to our friend Kevin Gifford at Polygon.com, the newly launched Polygon.com. Yes.
He himself.
Thanks to him and his story. Talking about the latest issue of Shonen Jump magazine revealing that they're working on a remake of Dragon Quest VII. Which is in some circles regarded as the best Dragon Quest.
Really?
Also,
is
possibly the longest Dragon Quest.
It's the longest for sure. It's not. I don't think it's the best, but it's really good.
I did not like that game.
This game was, I think, the first time I heard people be like, "Oh, you have to get through the first 40 hours."
That's
like
when
I feel weird.
System unlocks.
No, exactly. I feel weird saying people about Monster Hunter. Like, no, the first 10 hours suck. You just got to get through it. But like people were like, the first 40, 50 hours is a little slow.
That reminds me of Kirby Air Ride, where people were like, you got to play for 60 hours to finally like get the real depth.
Get the zone, dude. Yeah. Anyway, full 3D graphics, which is another pretty hilarious bullet point. But the 3D, the original, the PS1 original, did have 2D sprites.
That's right.
In a 3D game world,
and
Street
hilariously
Pass
awful
features.
FMV. That it has the best worst FMV probably ever.
I have to see that FMV live action FMV.
No, not live action FMV. CG. Yeah,
okay.
But I mean,
so bad.
This was the single highest selling PlayStation 1 game ever in Japan.
Right.
Like the highest selling, and yet the budget
post Final Fantasy
FMV
7, right?
Stuff, or CG? I don't remember.
Well, it must be.
It's just ever. It does. It's ever. No, right. No game has ever sold as much on PlayStation
Final Fantasy VII,
anywhere in the world. And like the CG was atrocious. It looked like it came from like a high school, like, you know, like computer club or something. It was so bad.
So it'll be interesting because this was released as Dragon Warrior 7 in English last time in 2001.
I reviewed it. I was looking up my review because Shane was talking about it on Twitter. Me and Shane and Christian reviewed it for EGM.
How did you review it for EGM?
I was reviewing for EGM to like 2006 or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I was the Japan correspondent. I gave it a 9.
Wow.
So did Shane.
Wow, crazy. Mm. So is this something to be excited about?
I'm crazy excited about it. I love that game. It was really good. And I'm really excited at the prospect of them localizing it again. Because the one problem with the last one was the localization was pretty poor. Not necessarily like it was poorly translated, but it was like it's one of those games where the developers didn't like let them expand the like limits of anything. Like all the Dragon Quest games forever have had like really long item names and stuff. And then this one they had like 9-letter limits on everything.
Yeah, yeah.
So like you had enemy names like Spot Rock and crap. Like it was garbage. Like it was so bad. And
is that a real example?
Almost. Yeah, it's like Spot. There are literally names like that. But you know, and then, you know, the translation right after that, when Square merged with Enix and then they brought in Richard and those guys, got really good, much, much better than this one. So, like, the prospect of them doing it over.
Right.
And I know we did the last one, but I'm not even, like, it doesn't even, as long as it could be somebody who's done, like, any of the last few Dragon Quest games would be great. It would be much better.
Although it would be cool if it was us.
Oh, yeah. We would be best, of course.
Right.
Speaking of Square Enix, if they can afford us, because they have cited sluggish sales of an unnamed major HD console game as one of the causes for a revision to their earnings forecast.
Wait, unnamed? They're not saying which game it is? Why would you do that?
Wait.
Alongside sluggish sales of arcade machines in Japan. Well, I mean, why say this is the game that nobody likes? I mean, people will just buy it less.
Does anybody, has the internet decided what that game is?
So that's my question, because I've hardly read the news.
It's an arcade game? Or?
No, they also cited sluggish sales of arcade machines in Japan, and it's delayed launching social game services.
Sorry.
Sing it. Are we sure it's Square Enix, or is it Eidos? Like, which side did the game
they
come
just,
from?
It's a Square Enix game.
Because
it could be Sleeping Dogs or whatever.
From a little bird that it was Dragon Quest X.
No, that doesn't make any sense. That game's breaking in the moment.
Actually, that's wrong. And it says unnamed major HD console game. Yeah, I wonder, maybe that's
your
why.
Your bird is full of bird shit.
That might be why they specified, actually. They're
not Dragon Quest X.
What about Final Fantasy 13-2?
That's what I was thinking. 13-2
probably sold like shit.
I mean, it probably didn't sell like shit.
It could be Final Fantasy 14. I mean, if they're not...
They had already said previously, like, Final Fantasy 14 almost killed them.
Right. They wouldn't hide that. They would
It could either be Sleeping Dogs or Final Fantasy 13-2.
I can't imagine the sales expectations for that were that high, though. I could see 13-2, which I don't think did horrible, but I could see it doing near expectations.
What about Deus Ex?
Deus Ex, they couldn't have had too high of expectations.
I think that game sold all right.
I think that did okay
right?
for what they had.
Overseas it did, at least.
Yeah, I don't know how well it did in Japan.
Super curious what that's about.
Back to some Nintendo news. This is interesting. A lot of people, this podcast included, have pontificated, wondered openly about the possibility of Retro Studios doing a Zelda game. And how cool that might be.
Yeah.
And during a recent interview with several Spanish media outlets, according to the story on Polygon.com, Miyamoto himself, Zelda and Mario creator, revealed that optioning Retro Studios for it isn't far-fetched. In fact, it's, quote, entirely possible, he told Game Reactor. I think one thing people should remember Studios that you remember is not necessarily the Retro Studios that made Metroid Prime.
Aren't half those guys working at 343 now or something?
Some of them are, at least one person that we know.
Yeah.
There was
the three top guys left at one point.
But also, what was their name? Aperture? A bunch of them...
Aperture's Portal.
Yeah, I know. But they have a name that's very much like that.
Does not exist.
They left to form their own company, making IP for EA and other people.
I forgot the name, but I know exactly what you're talking about.
I think it starts with an A.
But if it is the people who made the Donkey Kong games, that's still
great.
Yeah,
it's not like they're not...
Yeah,
they're
no, it's not like there's not talent still there. But I would be interested.
At this point, I kind of wish From Software was doing it, but...
A lot of people are with you.
But I think, like, you know, if you really think about it realistically, though, before it goes to Retro, I think there are other options. Like, for example, give it to the Galaxy team. Like, Tokyo Studio, they hit home run after home run. I want to see those guys make a Zelda game.
You know, I could see, though, with the art, the art sensibilities of retro, if you know, if any of those guys are still there, and just the design sensibilities. I think a new Zelda would call for it, like an east-west merging. I mean, Zelda is way more popular in the West anymore, yep, than it is in, right, Japan. I think, like you say, the Dark Souls, I would never want From Software to actually make it, but a Dark Souls, a post Dark Souls world, like a Dark Souls informed,
yeah,
Dark Souls Zelda,
right,
true,
made, yeah, by, you know, with a mix of Western and Eastern sensibilities, could be.
It's funny you
cool.
say that though, because like a Dark Souls informed Zelda, Dark Souls is essentially a like Zelda informed, Zelda, right, 1 informed, you know.
Yeah, but
Dark
think
Souls.
About it. So is, you know, it's like Final Fantasy came from,
right,
Wizardry and then became its own, right, fucking crazy, no, sure, monster. Sure. Resident Evil came from, you know, Alone in the Dark, and now what is it? Somebody, right, needs to bring it back to what it actually, right, yeah, was, yeah, when it, you know.
Dark Souls, yeah, are the reins that will bring the horse back on
there
track.
There you go. Poetically put.
Somebody who's not Cliffy B, because they need him to bring back.
That's right. He's going to be busy on Resident Evil.
Resident Evil 7.
Why don't we just run to that? He offered on Twitter to help Capcom fix Resident Evil. Hey, Capcom, call me, he wrote. Fix Resident Evil. Together.
I wish I could do that. Just be go on Twitter and be like, hey, let me make that game for you. Okay, let's do it.
That game you screwed up real bad. Yeah. I'll fix it.
So, yeah, we'll see what becomes of that. I thought the reason he was taking a break was he had like a non-compete clause.
Right.
But I don't know. He seems to be fishing around.
He has been like going to every fucking video game company to posting pictures on Twitter.
Like a hua.
Like a hua.
Not a whore is. is Treasure President Masato Maegawa, and
okay, God,
he, instead of whoring himself out, he is working on a new game on Nintendo 3DS.
Really?
Actually, we have, ooh, no idea what it is. It's not multi-platform though.
Oh God, I hope it's Star Fox.
Exclusive to 3DS. That would be crazy.
That would, yeah, be fucking amazing.
They did do Sin and Punishment 2 most recently, yes, for Nintendo.
That's right.
A game of the year 2 years in a row for me.
I don't really get excited about Treasure anymore because like Treasure, yeah, belongs in a 2D world. Like the 2D Treasure is so much better than the modern
Treasure. If you played Sin and Punishment 2, you would be not saying what you're saying right now.
Yep. I think I own it, actually.
Yeah, well, you, yeah, just need to play that.
You own a lot of games, though.
Yeah, I do.
We all do.
I do.
Punch Quest, I think we talked enough about. It's not doing great despite being downloaded like over 600,000 times,
yeah,
because of how it's set up. They might be blaming that the buy button is too small.
I can't even remember where the buy button is.
It's amazing,
that
though.
That is a bad problem.
The stakes are that high.
So they should just, yeah, update it where the first thing you see is a giant full screen buy,
no,
button.
No, I know.
Yeah.
When something is free to play, the stakes are that high and a mistake, right, as, you know, easy to miss as that.
Right.
But they're not sure exactly what it is. They're like pitching some spiel about like, well, we did meet our goals, even though we're not going to make money. But it's got to be disappointing with the game. Apparently it's getting good ratings.
Yeah.
It's been downloaded a shitload of times.
And Ben Judd is in town. We could have had him come over and tell us about why free to play is
free
the future.
Free to play. Which Ben Judd will not be on, including our podcast, is Attack of the Show or X Play.
Oh.
Because although they will continue through the end of this year, they have been canceled.
Ooh.
And the reason for this, and I did hear that, I didn't hear the reason for it. Apparently, G4 is now looking to transform itself into a network aimed towards a quote upscale unquote male audience.
What is that?
I don't know. Well, similar to Esquire or GQ, they want to like maybe partner with down the road is kind of what the
they're gonna have like the suit show where they show off suits.
Doritos maybe and Mountain Dew will be banned.
Oh,
maybe
the they are. G4 Men is Kyle. Something. It's so funny how names get stuck to things that they no longer have any fucking reason being applied to, and it's like, what the hell is G4 Men anymore? G4 used
like
to stand for game
gay porn channel or something.
Yes, with upwards of 1700 and 1300 episodes, Attack of the Show and X Play. To be honest, I don't think I've ever seen a whole episode of Attack of the Show. I would only see segments when people I knew like defending some stupid like hot coffee, you know, drummed up controversy.
Isn't that the didn't Garnet go on that show and like look like a train wreck?
No, I think that, well, maybe it was that. I thought maybe. I thought that was actually the CNN, but it might have been that you're talking about that picture.
He looks like a convict. I'm sorry, Garnet. I love you.
He looked hungover. Yeah. I think Garnet would give that up. Yeah. But yeah, X-Play as well had like some fun segments I would see online
three
once in a while. But
out of five,
yeah, it was nice that a show that was on a lot was about video games.
Yeah,
well, once Adam Sessler left, it kind of was that was it.
Yeah, that I mean, too was.
Did they replace him with like Tony Tallarico?
You can tell we're huge fans.
I have no idea why that was so funny.
I don't either. I was going to make a joke about Barmy being the host of the last few episodes, but it doesn't seem worth it anymore.
Yeah.
All right, we talked about Capcom sales the last 6 months. They're making lots of money now, up another 60% from last year, breaking its own record. That's thanks to a lot of Resident Evil 6 sales.
Yep.
It sold like over 4 million. That might be shipped, I don't know. Dragon's Dogma is at 1.2, which they said was beyond expectations. Good for them. Yeah. What else? Japan's original Game Master. In Ray Barnhold news,
hey, it's important stuff.
Game Master Takashi Meijin been hired by Mages, the Japanese publisher of Steins Gate.
I wish you just stopped there. He was hired by Mages. Yeah.
A bunch of mages, black mages, got together and summoned him. Apparently, he does like a show on Nikonikodoga, which is Japanese YouTube. I did see him poking around with some cute co-hostess at TGS.
Yes, she is. Actually, I think that's a man.
Yep. She's
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He's
for those who don't know, he's the guy who was famous in the NES era. He was like the main character of Adventure Island. I think Master Higgins would have been his English name.
Right.
And he's the guy who could like break a watermelon with his like rapid fire fingers or whatever.
That's right.
Yeah. The thing about this is, he's going to be doing like mostly media promoting video games and stuff like that. And that's definitely something that I think is really important because right now video games have next to no presence on TV in Japan. Like,
yeah, I mean,
past midnight, yes.
Yes, that's true. Yeah,
but
there's
before
a
midnight,
shows.
No.
True. So he's saying, I mean, he's not really changing that, right? He wants to change that.
Right.
Right.
And I think that's a noble cause.
But he's like, these days, if you're good at games, nobody thinks you're cool for that. It's like,
I do.
What? He's saying that didn't used to be the case, and I think if we get back to that era, things will be great. It's from another Kevin Gifford story on Polygon.com. That guy does good stories on
He is a
Polygon.
Great
com.
Story writer.
Level 5 news. This is kind of sad. So Level 5 releases a game, Little Battlers Experience, in Japan. It's a PSP game. It's kind of like Pokemon for maybe a little bit older boys.
Fans of robots.
Cardboard.
Yeah. So then they released an improved version called Little Battlers Experience Boost 5 months after the first game. Then,
kind of insulting,
8 months later, Little Battlers Experience Explosive Boost.
Oh,
on 3DS. That
sounds like a bowel problem.
Yeah. So now, they're like, people are like, yeah, no, fuck you.
Yeah, exactly.
And so he got out in front of this, President Hino, and is like, no, we're not going to do like a double boost version of, this
extremely
this thing.
Explosive boost.
Right. Rapidly explosive boost.
Because now, there's like, what is the PSP Vita sequel? Oh, okay, I guess that's the Little Battlers Experience Boost. So it's not selling well. And they're like, no, we're not going to do another thing. We're not going to release another new
You can't
thing.
Do that to
Buy
people.
It, please. Yeah, that's pretty bad. He also teased there will be a shocking announcement on November 15th. Recommended for fans to clear the game by then.
Level 5 is having hard times right now, I feel like.
Yeah,
I
mean, they've kind of fallen off.
They haven't had a hit in a while.
Ni no Kuni, the localization looks awesome. Super excited for that. It's next year, early next year.
Are you really excited for that, though?
Yeah, I am. I'm excited from a localization perspective.
For that, as like homework or whatever, I'm definitely excited.
And also just for my TV. Like, I mean, I the game looks fucking gorgeous. Right. I just want to see that game.
It just looks soulless to me, though. Like, the gameplay does not look
gameplay does not look like any great shakes, but like in terms of eye candy, it looks
beautiful,
awesome. And that might be enough. I probably won't buy it new. I don't know how much time I'll have to play it, but anyway, Speaking of older games that are taking a while, Cave Story might be coming to PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360, according to an SRB listing.
They are milking the crap out of that one. That's a great game and everything, too. Don't get me wrong, but wow.
Sorry.
Next year, it's coming out on the TI-86.
Right. Tandy compatibles.
Right.
So, yes, originally released on PC before being made available on WiiWare, DSiWare, 3DS eShop.
3DS as well.
Yeah, 3DS.
Yes, two versions. That just came out, I guess, earlier this month.
I was in October. I bought it off the eShop, and then afterward, they're like, yep, we're making a real 3DS version. I was like, oh.
Yeah, man, it looks like it includes Vita. That might just be the PS3 version, Xbox 360. Anyway, they contacted Nicalis, the game's publisher of most versions. Or is that all?
I think it's all versions, yeah.
Except for the original PC one.
Or what am I thinking of? The game that
La Mulana. They
La Mulana.
La Mulana.
Speaking of La Mulana,
I never got around to it.
Earth Defense Force. We're not going to talk about Zynga in other shoe news. Other shoe falling news.
What is this world we live in where we don't talk about EDF but we talk about Zynga?
Well, it's bad Zynga news. Yeah. Why not? They laid off a bunch of employees. That we're sad about. I think we talked about it last time.
That's not good.
They're closing their Japan studio.
It's a bummer. They were they're one of like three game companies within like a 5-minute walk.
Yeah.
We would see them at lunch a lot.
We broke bread with them.
Next to them anyway.
Or next
to them. Heart goes out to those guys, but then again.
If any of you are super fantastic writers and or translators here in Japan, please call us.
That is true.
This kind of news is it's the beginning of the end. Social gaming is about to.
Well, you hope so. You hope so.
We talked about that. It's going to be a while. But
I can't say I'm like super sad because you know it's like kind of a curse on our business, but a disease.
I feel bad for the people who work at those.
I still, see
you had to make that. I mean, I'm not dogging these people or anything, but you do have to make the choice to go work there. So if you go to work on a social game expecting like big fortunes, it's your fault that you got in this situation to begin with. You should have known better.
Maybe.
It's sort of like the video game version of like Darwinism, basically.
It's the thing, I still see, even today, there was an article on Hachima about people like, well, Nintendo's not getting into social games. They're so behind the times.
Right.
With their like wine glass in their hand. But, you know, that's shit's gonna be that's just gonna be so
idiots.
Those people are gonna be so fucked in 4 years when everybody's like, oh, social games, why did we do that?
What were we thinking?
Yeah,
it's like disco. So
the video game disco,
speaking of disco, Peter Molyneux's game Curiosity hits the iPhone November 7th with its secret.
I saw that.
What could it be? So for people who don't know,
it's a picture of a baby.
I have no
yes
idea.
I do.
Okay. This is the most fucking ridiculous thing ever. It reads like an Onion parody making fun of Peter Molyneux. It's like a game where you pay money. Correct me if I'm wrong. You pay money to like remove part of a giant square or something.
Yes.
And once enough people do that, finally one person will remove the final whatever it is.
Right.
Or something like this. And they get to see the thing that was inside this giant box that the world slowly uncovered.
Right. I think it's kind of
and it's like Peter Molyneux like mooning you basically.
I was like his cock. I think it's gonna be like a picture of a baby.
You know, it's gonna be something like that, right?
It's gonna be like cats and party hats.
Life.
Yeah, it's gonna be like a fetus or like, you know, the sun or some kind of fucking bullshit.
Jimmy Hoffa. Right.
Like
but
that.
I will say, like, having like this kind of worldwide get together, let's see what the fuck is in the square.
Yeah, but Nobody Boy did that.
You know what?
Kind
of. In theory, that's cool, but it's all about execution. Like, any fucking 3-year-old can have the idea of, like, oh, wouldn't it be grand if all the world played the game together? Like, yes, that's
pretty good.
Peter Molyneux.
Pretty good.
Yeah, a little Ringo in there. Yeah. But, like, any fucking 5-year-old can have that idea.
Yes.
If it's just poking at, you know, squares, that's horrible.
Well, yeah.
That's terrible. That's
does
just,
it cost money or is it free?
That's
no, you. I think you get like a few hits every day.
Yeah.
Oh, it's like that.
And then you can pay for like better pickaxes and stuff like that. I don't know.
Jesus. That's fucking Christ.
Insulting.
I'm going to be. It's like Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
I do think an interesting offshoot of it is that he apparently no one told Nintendo or Apple.
Yeah.
Is crazy slip there. No one told Apple, apparently, even in the approval process, what it actually is.
Right.
So they've been able to keep the secret.
It's hardcore.
Which
porn.
I find that really, yeah, exactly. I find that really fucking hard to
believe. It's 1+1. And then you figure it out, and then you get $100. I don't know. Keep going.
You're just all right. Speaking of $100, Disney purchased Lucasfilm for exactly that amount.
Yes.
Including LucasArts. Actually, it was somewhere around $4 billion.
Which is what they paid for Marvel, too. They got lots of billions, those Disney people.
Marvel, well, yes, they
make
they do.
The movies.
They that's lots of money.
Buy us for just $1 billion.
They say we're more likely to focus on social on mobile and mobile than we are on console, like a good douchebag. Disney CEO Robert Iger said that. But we'll look opportunistically at console,
no.
Most likely in licensing rather than publishing. So, yeah, they're going to license out they're good things, and then just try to cash in on the easy shit is what it sounds like.
Okay. Forget all that. The good news is Star Wars, right?
Like, yes.
Is that good news?
It is.
Well, it's good news until it's bad news, basically, is the way I'm looking at it. It's like, and it's not Lucas penning the script.
Right.
It's like, you know,
they're making another new Star Wars movie. As right. People haven't
episode
heard.
Seven,
right.
Episode 7. They'll let them hang out on the set. Right. By like the food and the catering,
right.
You won't be able to do anything.
Right.
Yeah,
it's pretty exciting, I think, because like there's potential here for these are the people who are in the positions of power now are like our age, like they grew up with this and they were wronged as well, and like there's a lot of people who want to make things right.
Potentially,
and the reckoning
true.
Shall come.
Yeah. Yes,
and so, it'll be cool to see Mark Hamill as Darth Vader.
What? What the hell are you drinking over there?
Mark Hamill as Luke Skywalker again. Thank you.
Spoilers for episode 7.
Yeah, I don't know, JJ. I don't know how much you remember about Star Wars. You remember when you watched those movies, but yeah.
I do think it would be awesome if they got the three of them, Mark Hamill and
be
Carrie
awesome
Fisher.
To see Luke and Leia finally get together.
Who said that the other day? Something
that
about
was
Luke?
That was me. I'm
yeah,
sorry.
Luke and Leia kissing each other or something. Or
no, like
they
I,
do
know,
kiss each other in Empire Strikes Back. It's
I got
true.
I got yeah, something mixed up where you were talking about Han Solo.
Yeah. I think it's
I think
on,
she kissed him on the mouth. But,
it's
you know,
on the
it was,
mouth.
It was inoffensive
in Star Wars before they crossed the. They cross the thing.
Oh, okay. Right. I think she kisses him on the cheek, but on Empire Strikes Back, they do full mouth to mouth.
Full mouth to mouth. Anyway,
tongue.
I'm pretty excited
no
about
idea.
That news, and I think it's awesome. I think it's awesome that George Lucas is giving most of his money to education.
Yeah, I yes. can't hate him too much for doing that.
Oh well, I didn't even know that part.
Yeah.
You can still hate him for Jar Jar and all that crap.
And I do.
And all shooting first
prequels.
And all that crap. Do we wouldn't even talk about you. Doritos and Mountain Dew and that kind
you
of
know,
business?
I love the way the internet.
What is wrong with you today?
It's late. I wake up at like 6:30 in the morning.
It's late.
I love the way that the internet is just turning this into a feeding frenzy of just
yes.
like GIFs and funny
Gaff
shit
is at its best right now.
I
yeah.
also,
stuff like this.
I love how everybody turned it into something about themselves too. Like how quickly it was like everybody focusing in on themselves because, well,
you
it,
mean like everybody else in the industry, right?
You mean the
yeah,
media?
Yeah, right. But you know, a lot of good things in that were written things that I agree with and whatever. I do think as a totally separate issue, I've noticed recently, like. On Twitter's a certain well-known gaming personality who I'm not going to name congratulated like a company on the release of their game. And I started to feel like,
yeah,
this is a little weird. Like I understand that, you know, everybody has friends when you work in an industry, you make friends.
Right.
But at a certain point, it's like, I don't know, publicly congratulating for a game release. Just, I don't know.
As a member of the media.
Gray areas. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right, right. Yeah. I mean, well, you know what? That's, I mean.
Yeah, God, I mean, we're not, we're exempt. We can do
no,
whatever
yeah,
the fuck
we graduated.
Want. Money, money changes hands. That's all yeah. I'm going to say. You think this podcast, our opinions are our own?
You know, so I got a whole bag of Doritos at my desk right
Pushmo,
now.
Pushmo
Doritos.
Pushmo flavored Doritos.
They taste
bags
like
bags and bags.
They taste like cotton candy.
Of that shit. Delicious.
Someday I would like to talk about all that stuff, but probably not today, because I think we could talk about it for hours. I mean,
it's been talked to.
The first post in the Gaff thread is just like 100 different links to like every fucking person on the internet having something to say about it.
I do think the greatest, the
well,
latest
there's
development.
There's opportunists in there too.
Yeah.
Oh, great,
yeah.
The greatest, latest development is the scale of the different scales. It's like, this is Jeff Keighley wearing a Dorito on his head. 4 Jeff Keighley wearing Doritos on his head out of 5 Jeff Keighley Doritos. So these different scales. And one is Jeff Keighley heads being filled with Mountain Dew. I don't know if you've seen it, but like there's 4 of them and one of them's grayed out on the head.
Oh my God.
So like people are...
one with the Pope hat was the best.
Yeah. The Dorito Pope hat is pretty great. There's like a green cupcake faced one. Yeah. Anyway, just enjoying it. Just enjoy it on that level. If you have no idea what we're talking about, you don't want to just fucking just right. Dorito like Jeff Keighley Doritos and just enjoy the just stay on the images section of Google and just right. enjoy it from that.
I know
aspect.
You meant to say Google Jeff Keighley Doritos, but you said Dorito Jeff Keighley Doritos.
Oh, you didn't know about Doritos search engine? It's awesome.
Just Dorito it.
It's the new thing. Dorito. Yeah, yeah. You don't Bing anything anymore. Right. You Dorito it. Get with the times, man.
Yeah.
What do you think we got out JJ's free Doritos from?
Right. Exactly.
So, yeah. Who wants to round it out? Thank our sponsors.
Doritos.
Where we go.
Suntory Whiskey.
Actually, we don't have time to talk
it's
about
Suntory
it.
It's Suntory time.
It next time.
What? Look up Castlevania Hymn of Blood. It's a, oh, okay. It's a live action like Castlevania like
Dorito
fan
it.
Movie.
Yes,
that is. It's amazing. Let's just put it that way. Put I won't that way. Explain that.
Leave but. It at that. We'll talk about it more. We'll also talk more about friend of the show, Mr. Roy Blakely, has a very interesting Monster Hunter Beginner's Guide, which
ooh,
I think
yeah,
is going to be useful to a lot of people, especially as those games come out. So we'll talk more about that.
They really should just stick it in the box,
you know, right? Yeah. You can check it out right now if you don't want to wait. kotowari.org. You can order it from there. We'll talk about it in depth. I haven't had much time to look at it yet. Unfortunately, he did send us one and it does look cool. He can't use official art or images and stuff like that, of course, but they did their own illustrations, which are kick ass, and it's very beginner friendly. In fact, I'm planning on buying it and sending it to some people that I think maybe could get into Monster Hunter or start off that with.
Also,
yes.
What also,
is the secret whispering.
We're going to be doing a charity podcast.
My goodness, aren't we? Right. What happened to that sheet?
I don't
had it in
know.
There somewhere with the details.
But Nintendo World Report is the name of their website, I believe. And every year they do this kind of marathon podcast for Child's Play. And
depending
on how many how much money they get, they go longer and longer and longer.
So yes, it's the third annual Nintendo
like
World Report live podcast.
Oh yeah.
For
Child's Play.
And if they get up to $2,000, we are on it at 4 o'clock Eastern time.
Oh, we've been bumped up an hour since then, by the way. So we're at 5 Eastern.
5 Eastern.
5
a.m.
5,
you mean, right?
No,
5 Eastern. P.M.
Eastern America time.
Oh,
yeah. Japan.
It's definitely not 5 in the morning.
It's 7 o'clock in the morning. On a Sunday.
Hey, man.
It would have been it for the kids.
It would have been 6 in the morning, but I fucking told them.
Or it could have been 1 o'clock in the morning.
Very nicely.
It could have been 1 o'clock in the morning.
It's true.
But you guys.
I have a child who sleeps.
Whatever. Yeah.
He doesn't go to bed till like 2 a.m. anyway.
Yeah. No, he goes to bed at 10 now.
So, yeah, we're on if it gets to $2,000. So make
that
happen.
Prize.
A4 bump. Yes.
Yeah.
Last year, we talked about like old men and prostitutes at
Did
some
we?
Point.
We may have interesting stuff to talk about. Well, we being you. I'm not going to be there, I don't think.
Yeah.
But JJ and Mark.
And Brendan
so,
will.
I will be there. Yes. Yeah, look forward to that. That is, when is that? Next weekend?
Right. And we'll be on there with the, they have a podcast called the Famicast, and we'll be...
On that,
you know,
section,
on that
the Japanese section of their thing. Okay, so other than that, I think that'll do it for the next couple weeks. Where can people find us? JJ, you're on a roll.
on the internet at giantbomb.com, on the thread on neogaf.com, and the Facebooks, and on Twitter. My name is SPRSK.
Mark MacD. M-A-R-K, M-A-C-D.
Brendan Beyond.
And I am John TV, or we have our 84 Play Twitter. At
yes.
84 Play.
Follow us at 84 Play.
Yes.
And we also have a website.
We also have a website, 8-4.jp, where we post all of our podcasts and stuff like that.
Mm. iTunes. We're also on iTunes.
Oh, yeah. We have an iTunes. And,
we have an iTunes. You sound like my grandma.
Please review us with good ratings.
Maybe we'll start reading off who's doing
that's
this.
A
Player
idea.
One podcast is reading 5-star reviews.
That's a great idea.
So,
amazing.
Hey, not to say you have to give us a 5-star review.
Right.
But if you happen to, maybe we'll read it.
Can we steal that? I'm sure they wouldn't mind.
Of course we can steal that idea.
Idea.
We don't have to ask.
I'm glad you thought of it, Mark.
Yeah. They have a couple of good ideas I think we might steal from that podcast. I think that's about it. Are we forgetting anything? We keep forgetting something.
No, I think we got it this time.
Okay. You want to go home?
Well, no, I got shit to do.
All right. You want to get do your shit and go home? Yeah. And so do the rest of us. So from all of us to all of you, thanks as always for listening. We know you have a choice of podcasts, and we appreciate you choosing this one. And that's it. So who wants to take us out? Go.
Darth Vader, I am your father.
Wait, Darth Vader, I am your father?
Is this Mark Hamill talking to Darth Vader?
Yes, it is.
Jesus Christ.
Can't be seen.